This is a Willets Point Shea Stadium bound 7 express train. The next and last stop is Willets Point Shea Stadium.
Yes, it is the Subway to Shea podcast. Anthony Rivera here with you, talking about all the news and happenings surrounding that team from Queens, the New York Mets. Episode 133 from the Subway to Shea studios in my office. A huge thanks to Carson of Mets Weekly Podcast. He was a great guest last episode with an early look at this Mets roster that we have going on right now. You can follow him on Twitter /X at MWCars. That's MWCARSE and at Mets Weekly at Mets Weekly Pod. Today's a solo episode. No guest, just you, just me. And there's a lot to talk about. But first things first, a few things I want to get off of my chest here. Things that won't be addressed on the podcast from this point forward. And that's one, Pete Alonso's contract, unless he signs an extension. We are not going to talk about that. We're going to focus on what he's going to do on the field for this team in 2024. Time to focus on his play and how he will help this team win on a daily basis. Number two, Juan Soto to the Mets. You know, a lot of people in the media have been talking about this. He got it on the radio with, you know, what Sal Licata said. And, you know, he hasn't played a regular season game yet for the Yankees. He hasn't even played at Yankee Stadium yet, so I can't really talk about if Juan Soto is going to come to the Mets. Obviously, we know that the Mets are going to be in on Juan Soto, right? The Mets are going to be in on everyone with Steve Cohen's money. Whether they get the player, that's a different story, but they're going to always be in on mostly every player, especially next offseason when a lot of money comes off the books and there's going to be a lot of great free agents available. So there's not going to be any Juan Soto discourse here on here, And we're going to move on from that. I think someone else on Twitter the other day mentioned something about a Brett Beatty contract extension. We're not going to get into that either, because Brett Beatty hasn't even had a full season's worth of at-bats, and they haven't even been great at-bats, the ones that he has had. So we're not going to get into that. I know the Braves do it, and it's probably the proper way to do these contract extensions with their players, their homegrown talent. But Brett Beatty has to show us something first, and he's not going to get anything before Francisco Alvarez does. So we are not going to get into that either. Now, on what to talk about today and what this show is going to be about, you know, what we're all here for, and that is the return of Sugar, the return of Edwin Diaz, and boy, is he back. He's all the way back. Edwin Diaz made his return on Monday. First Mets game back since the 2022 NL Wild Card versus the San Diego Padres. And coming back from that, tearing his patellar tendon in his right knee. We all know he tore it while celebrating a win in the WBC on March 15th of 2023, 4 days from the date of his return. Now, he returned Monday night versus the Miami Marlins, and Timmy Trumpets was playing, Narcos was playing. I gotta admit, guys, I don't know about you, but I got a little emotional. A little bit emotional watching the return of Edwin Diaz. Came back in the fifth inning, threw 14 pitches, 8 were sliders, 6 were fastballs, 9 of the 14 pitches were strikes, 8 of the pitches were swings, 7 were swings and misses. Threw a fastball at 98 miles an hour, struck out the side, which was Jesus Sanchez, Avisail Garcia, and John Birdie, all struck out on his wicked slider. I hope everyone got to see that. That was an awesome moment the other night in Port St. Lucie. We know that Edwin Diaz's arm is intact. It's healthy. Thank goodness that didn't get injured, because, you know, we all played close attention to the knee, and it looks healthy. It looks 100% healthy. We know Steve Cohen took good care of his needs while injured. Will Salmon at The Athletic reported it during the offseason, or during last season, actually, that Cohen was providing Diaz with a trainer, a nutritionist, and even a personal chef. Cohen called Diaz to tell him, you know, we're going to do everything we can to get you better and take care of you. So it was nice to see Edwin, especially with the Mets playing the way that they did last year and having a terrible season. It was great to see him be able to take the full season to recover, come back for the spring, be 100% ready to go. Now he's into game action. And during the press conference, he said he wanted to throw back-to-back games probably right before spring training ends. So we'll probably see one of those games with Edwin Diaz. In an interview with Michelle Margot of SNY during the game, he talked about his kids playing Narcos all the time and loving that song. I don't know if you guys saw his wife's post on her Instagram story, and it showed up the kids, you know, cheering excitement for their father striking out the side. What an emotional moment that was to watch and see go down on Monday. It's a feel-good story. You know, in a time where this team doesn't really have high expectations and a lot of media and fans aren't expecting much from this team because it's an evaluating year. We're going to see what the kids have. We're going to see if some of these ifs that the Mets signed can rewrite the story of their career and of this season. This right here is a great story. This is a good victory for the Mets. I know it's only spring, but if you go into past springs and see with all of those kind of lost moments, losing Zach Wheeler, losing Noah Syndergaard for the season, having to have Tommy John, both of them, DeGrom starting multiple years off on IL, Scherzer injuries, Verlander last year, and even the Edwin Diaz injury, which was a killer. You know, look at what the Yankees are going through at this moment in time as they hold their breath with Gerrit Cole and his MRI. And I don't know about you. Obviously, I'm not a Yankee. I'm not a Yankee fan. I'm a Met fan, but I'm not going to, you know, go after Gerrit Cole here or the Yankee fans. This is a tough thing for them to be dealing with, especially when they have all these high hopes of going to the World Series. And now Aaron Judge needed an MRI on his ribs. The Yankees are looking at Dylan Cease to possibly be in the rotation. Gerrit Cole's not going to start the season on opening day. So a lot of tough things going on over there. And here in Port St. Lucie with the Mets, it's just nice to see Diaz, who's such a great guy, who's such a leader in the clubhouse, who is kind of the heartbeat of the New York Mets, return and, you know what, dominate like he never missed a beat. And who cares about who he faced? It's the fact that he has not missed a beat since leaving. And it's great to see, and I'm happy that he's back. And I know a lot of Met fans are happy that he's back as well. Let's get into some more stuff. And we are going to talk about the Mets pitching just in general, right? We go from Edwin Diaz. Let's continue and talk about the pitching. I know it's spring and you're going to hear me say that a lot this episode, but the Mets lead all of Major League Baseball this spring in ERA, a 2.52 ERA, almost a full run ahead of the second team, which was Boston, who had a 3.32 ERA. Even if it's only spring training, you still want to see these type of results. They have given up the, I want to say, least amount of hits, which was 107, runs 42, earned runs 36, home runs 6, and the walks, they're second in, which they've only given up 41. They could do better in strikeouts. They're 26th right now, 141. So I'm pretty sure Edwin Diaz is going to help that out a lot. And there's a lot of balls in play. So what David Stearns talked about with the defense being important, that's going to be important this season. It's going to be very important. And for batting average, 270, I think that's wrong. I have 277, but I think it's 217 batting average against, which they are fourth in. This is what you want to see, because the rotation has a ton to prove. Every single one of them, outside of Kodai Senga and Tyler McGill, are in their walk year. And you need to have a great season from Luis Severino, Jose Quintana, Sean Manaea, and Adrian Hauser. There's also two bullpen spots available, and the competition has been fierce, and that's a good thing. It's like they're kind of fighting for their baseball lives out there, and that's the way it should be. Now, with some of the players, there have been some reassignments. The Mets have reassigned pitcher Chad Smith and Nate Lavender. They've optioned Grant Hartwig and Josh Walker to AAA. Now, you know, don't get upset about Nate Lavender. We will see him at some point. Obviously, injuries take place and people get released. So at some point, we are going to see Nate Lavender, whether it's this year or next year. We got a little bit of a taste of him during spring training. We got to see his delivery, that kind of Billy Wagner-esque delivery from Nate Lavender. And with Jake Diekman and Brooks Raley at this moment in time, there really isn't a need for a third left-handed pitcher in Nate Lavender. And I'm going to go through the bullpen. I did this with Carson last week, kind of an early look at it. But as the spring progresses, there are more standouts and there are a lot of, you know, differentiating factors into who can be on this team and who can. Now, let me bring up the roster here. And I have it up here, the bullpen list here. And this is from MetsFix. I took this from MetsFix newsletter. Make sure you sign up for that. And if you can see this very well, look at the guys that are highlighted, right? Edwin Diaz, Brooks Raley, Adam Ottavino, Drew Smith, Jorge Lopez, and Jake Diekman, right? All those guys are for sure going to make this bullpen. You have Phil Bickford there and you have Shintaro Fujinami there. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think either of them make it. Phil Bickford hasn't really had a great spring. I know it's early, but he has not really shown out. And you have a little margin for error when other relievers are pitching better than you. Shintaro Fujinami, I don't think makes the team. Why? Because he's got an option. You can send him to the minors. So I think he starts the season off in the minors, allows himself to get back into baseball shape because, you know, his spring was paused for a couple of weeks due to visa issues and personal matters. So allow him to get himself back into shape and back into baseball shape where he's, you know, ready to go for the season and the future. Like Lavender, we're going to see Fujinami. We'll probably see Fujinami before we do see Lavender. But there are three pitchers, I feel like, and this is just my personal opinion, and you can let me know if you agree or not. There are three relievers that I feel are battling for the final two spots. One, Michael Tonkin. Two, Sean Reed Foley. And three, Johan Ramirez. Now, for those two final spots, I think that one of Michael Tonkin or Sean Reed Foley gets that because they're kind of the same pitcher, right? They're kind of the same pitcher where they're going to be the innings eater. They're going to be the Trevor Williams of this team. So I feel like one of those guys will get that role. And the other one, I feel like will go to Johan Ramirez if he continues to pitch as well as he has been this spring. And I think it's Johan Ramirez. I couldn't remember if it was Yaxel Rios or Johan Ramirez was the one that his delivery is somewhat like Edwin Diaz. You know, this bullpen really has an opportunity to be one of the better ones, not only in the division, but in the league. I know, like I said, we're only in spring, and I'm going to keep saying that, but results do matter. And because they've been pitching so well, it's been really hard to figure out which pitcher is going to make this roster. We already know the ones that are set. And so I feel that Tonkin, Sean Reed Foley, and Johan Ramirez, one of those three, two of those three are going to be the ones that shape up the rest of this bullpen. Now, remember how I said results are still important in spring training? That goes with the offense as well. And they have left a lot to be desired this spring. You look at, you know, Brett Beatty and Mark Vientos, they're kind of starting to come around, but not really lighting it up. Beatty was a beast last spring. And it was unfortunate that he kind of got screwed over because the Mets went with a more veteran presence with Eduardo Escobar. And I really feel like that messed him up. I really feel like that screwed up his timeline and really messed with his head. And he's never been the same since. I am not one to want to give up on these kids yet, but I will say this, that their wiggle room is shrinking. Same thing goes for DJ Stewart, who is struggling. And he has an option to get sent to the minors. So he better be careful. Luke Voit has been pretty much non-existent, but G-Man Choi, and I said this on Twitter, he has a legitimate shot to make this roster. I really do think he does. And he could take Stewart's spot and be the DH against righties. Obviously, the JD Martinez is out there. He's seeking a two-year deal, though. He's not getting that from the Mets, that's for sure. JD Davis was released by the Giants. Now, I don't want JD Davis. Let me know if you guys want him. I don't want him back. He had an opportunity, and I feel like he squandered it. When Dom Smith could not take hold of the DH spot J.D. Davis was given the opportunity, and he really didn't do much with it. And I think it was John Saponaro from Till Mets Do Us Part gave us a little reminder. 0-10 with 10 strikeouts, with the bases loaded for J.D. Davis. If I'm going to see that, I rather keep Mark Vientos. And Corey's saying it. We already have a J.D. Davis in Mark Vientos, so there's no need for another. So he's correct. There isn't. There isn't a need for another. So go with the kids. Go with Mark Vientos. Bring G-Man Choi, who I think has a better track record than DJ Stewart, and see what he got. DJ Stewart still has the option. They could bring him up if G-Man Choi doesn't work. But let's not all act like DJ Stewart was, you know, one of the best players on his team. He had a really good two-week span, but that was it. He kind of faded away at the end of the season, kind of back to his normal mean. So let's see what G-Man Choi has. Doesn't work out, you go to DJ Stewart. But hopefully, there's no need for that, because hopefully Mark Vientos kind of takes the reins. It's taken him a while to get warmed up here in spring. Got to see a little bit more, because, you know, these kids are on borrowed time. There's not much more time for Brett Beatty. There's not much more time for Mark Vientos. The Mets need to nail having the proper DH, because ever since the DH came into play, they have not. And it stinks. I don't like the split DH. Give me one good guy. Give me JD Martinez. You want one good DH. You want to have someone like how David Ortiz was the only DH for the Boston Red Sox and was blasting home runs. You want one guy taking control of that spot. And hopefully Mark Vientos can do that and show the power that he did in AAA. I want to talk a little bit about Brandon Nimmo. Leadoff man or nah? Brandon Nimmo told Tim Healy of Newsday that he's comfortable moving off of his role as a leadoff hitter if necessary. Now, I definitely talked about this last year. Nimmo, to me, is not that prototypical leadoff hitter, especially now that he's found some power. He's going to be a solid run producer when they do decide to move him down, if they do decide. Do I think it should be now? No. Nimmo needs to prove that he can hit with power consistently. This last season was the most home runs he hit in a season. So we'll see if he can duplicate that. I am not too sure he can, but we will see. I feel like they need that speedy leadoff, man. You know what? We've been so spoiled by what Jose Reyes did in his tenure with the Mets. Stealing bases, the way he'd work the count and get on base. And obviously, Nimmo can work the count. Nimmo can get on base. But the fact that he can't steal bases is something that, you know, I struggle with. And it's okay that he can't, because I'm always worried about his legs and getting injured, because a couple times he got injured trying to steal base. Now, who would be a guy that on this current roster right now that could possibly, you know, take that role of being the leadoff guy? Starling Marte, if he's willing and able, would be that type of guy that would, to me, be a guy that can steal a base, work the count, get on base. I know some people said Jeff McNeil, but he's not that guy. He doesn't work counts. And, you know, his whole thing is slap hitting and going after the first pitch. I wouldn't want that at the top of the lineup. You want your top guys working the count so that Francisco Lindor, Pete Alonso, and probably Francisco Alvarez can feast. So as currently constructed, I would leave the lineup the way it is. For now, Nimmo stays put, and this team needs to find a way to solidify the bottom of the order so that Pete is not left to dry. And hopefully that comes in the form of the sophomore year of Francisco Alvarez. And as I've said on Twitter, I called them the Blast Brothers, if their power continues to surge. So we'll see what happens with Brandon Nimmo. But for right now, Brandon Nimmo can stay as the leadoff man. Obviously, you want him getting a lot of at-bats. You want Lindor and Alonso getting a lot of at-bats. And at some point, Francisco Alvarez will have to get a lot of at-bats as well. You know, Carlos brings up a good point, talking about Lindor leading off. So let's get into that real quick. Lindor is probably, outside of Marte, Lindor is probably the guy that should be leading off, right? I mean, 30-30, hits for power, steals bases. he's probably the guy you want at the top of the order. But you also want him in the middle of the lineup because he's one of those clutch players that's going to get a big hit and bring in the RBIs. So it's a really tough situation to deal with. Carlos says Lindor lead off, but he also agrees with me that Lindor is not the guy that will work the count. So maybe the loss is wrong. No, you're not wrong. It's a possibility. If Lindor goes about this the way that Nimmo is and says, you know, if you need me, if necessary to be in the leadoff spot, I'll do it. Hey, man, the more the merrier. That top of the lineup is a good scenario to happen, right? Obviously, we know the bottom of the lineup is not much right now, but those first four or five guys with Marte going back to 2022 Marte, dangerous, man. Look at the runs that they scored in 2022. They can get those guys back into form. Marte, Jeff McNeil. Now you're adding Francisco Alvarez. Those top six guys, whatever production you can get from Harrison Bader, because he does have some pop. If Mark Vientos can hit 20 home runs, if you can get Beatty to hit the way he did in AAA when he was killing it, get him the way he was hitting last spring, we got some kind of offense if they can do that. And with the pitching we've already talked about, this team can win, like I said, 83, 84 games vying for that final spot. And if they're in the hunt by the time the trade deadline comes around, this Met team could be in for a nice little playoff chase. And that's what we like to see there. Now, before we wrap up this show, I want to talk about the Mets spring breakout, which is going to happen Friday, March 15th at 3:10 p.m. on SNY. I don't know if you guys see, they're going to be playing the Washington Nationals, and we're going to get to see the kids out there. I don't know if you could see this very well. If you're having a hard time, I would say full screen, because that's what I just did. Pitchers on the Mets, Paul Gervais. You got Dominic Hamill, who we saw a little bit of during spring training. Daniel Juarez, Nolan McLean, Wilkin Ramos, Ben Simon, Brandon Sprout, Tyler Stewart, Blake Tidwell, who we got a nice little view of in spring already, Calvin Ziegler. The catchers, Ronald Hernandez, Kevin Parada, and Vincent Peroza. Infielders, Luis Angel Acuna, Jesus Baez, Colin Houck, William Lugo, Jacob Reamer, Jeremy Rodriguez, Junior Tellin, Marco Vargas, who we got to see on Monday in spring action, and he hit the ball really hard. I know he hit, got out, but his exit velo looked very well. Jet Williams, and the outfielders, Ryan Clifford, Drew Gilbert, Nick Morabito, Alex Ramirez, and Ryland Thomas. If you guys are interested in any of these guys, you got to let me know who you're most interested to see at the Mets spring breakout, which happens Friday, March 15th at 3:10 on SNY against the Washington Nationals. One more thing that I want to talk about before we wrap up the show here. Our thoughts and prayers with Daryl Strawberry, who suffered a minor heart attack. All of our thoughts and prayers are with him. Hopefully he's going to get well soon and he feels better, because we need to see him. Obviously, first and foremost, his health is most important, but they're going to be retiring his number. I think it's June 1st or July 1st. I know I'll be at the game. I can't remember off the top of my head, but hopefully he will be there and be in 100% good spirits, 100% good health. We're rooting for you, Daryl, and we hope to see you feel better, you know, soon. And we'll leave it at that. We'll leave it at there. You can follow the show, like I said, on X, Instagram, and TikTok at Subway to Shea. If you're on Instagram, do me a favor. Yesterday, I was on a live with Vintage Mets. He does his Mets Monday live on Instagram. Check it out. We talked Mets. We talked Edwin Diaz, bullpen, all of it. Check that out. You'll enjoy it. It's probably like, you know, 30, 40 minutes long. Check that out if you're on Instagram, and follow Vintage Mets. He's got a lot of great vintage gear tailored toward the Mets, and always showing it out. Always at Citi Field. Great to see him, and hopefully we'll see him this season and at opening day. Hopefully I'll see a lot of you guys at opening day as well. Well, you can listen, subscribe to the Subway to Shea podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Watch and subscribe on YouTube. If you enjoyed this episode and enjoy Subway to Shea in general, leave a review, give me 5 stars, and hit that like button. With that said, thank you for tuning in and helping my podcast grow each and every week. It is a pleasure sharing this content with you, and you continue to be a major part of the success of Subway to Shea and the Subway to Shea brand. I appreciate every single one of you. It was a pleasure. It was a lot of fun. There'll be more Subway to Shea next week. There'll be more content coming your way during the season. So I hope you enjoy that as well. So for Anthony Rivera, this is the Subway to Shea podcast. Always remember and never forget, let's go Mets.